welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Kia ora, David Slack. How are you this morning, David?
Kia ora, Rachel. I'm good. Thank you.
It is very nice to hear from you. It's been a wee while, and certainly a lot has happened since we last had a chat. We're back in lockdown, of course, and that means that we're back to talking about COVID oftentimes. I wanted to start by chatting about the support package we saw come out from the government yesterday, specifically targeted at arts and at arts institutions. Now, it's a big chunk of money, and it is going predominantly to keeping spaces open and also keeping people in the more sort of systematic way in work. Now, have you had a chance to have a look at this? What are your initial thoughts when it comes to this package?
Yeah, I've trawled through it all, and I've got my jaded reaction. And I'll preface this by saying it looks good, but my jaded reaction is whenever I'm ever looking at anything to do with funding the arts, I just get kind of weary trying to imagining all the forms you might have to navigate to get through this whole process, because I've occasionally been involved with people where that's done, and you kind of in the end say, oh God, it's too hard. But fortunately, many people don't take that defeatist attitude and they go and make great art, and they work their way through the process, and good things are rewarded and good things are nourished and sustained, and thank Christ for that, because we are a hopeless what is the point of living if you don't have a culture that explores it? And right now, demonstrably, there are huge problems with performances having been stymied or abandoned, and the money involved is huge. And the Big Idea has done a very systematic analysis of it all. Mm-hmm. It's really helpful. And they look at the kind of financial harm that's being done, and the need that's there, and look at where this emergency 32-odd million goes, and some of the big agencies parcel out a good chunk of it, but there's also a smaller chunk for individuals and entities who don't kind of fit those large criteria who might be against the wall and could use a different system. Mm-hmm. and here it is for them. That's great.
It is very good to see a big chunk of money going into the arts. There was quite a bit of anxiety, I think, in the community for a long time. Last year we saw from the get-go money come out to these spaces, and it's been, I think, possibly something people have been quite concerned. It's taken a while to see the funding come through at this stage of lockdown. However, it is good to have that money there, but it's prompted quite a lot of discussion in various spaces online. We've seen some big public letters come out from art institutions and music spaces as well, talking about how there are going to be ongoing challenges for the arts sector. And we're talking about music, performance, theatre in this kind of broad term of art here. And Delta is going to make it harder as well to get people back into spaces. Do you think we need to be seeing a broader conversation about how we go forward at this point with more support in place on an infrastructure level as well to support people to get back into performing, to get back into these spaces? Because it's not going to necessarily look the same as we've always seen it. What are your thoughts around that, David?
Oh, yeah, I wholly agree. You know, it's always the poor relation in any conversation about what gets funded and supported, even though it's, you know, intrinsic to the happiness that, of the life we live, all of the creative arts. You know, everybody goes home at night and turns on the tube or picks up a magazine or a book, or, you know, there are in a multitude of ways, everybody gets arts in their life every mm-hmm. day. And yet, it's kind of regarded as, if you're an artist, it's kind of presumptuous to say, hey, would you mind putting some money in my cap, please? You know? And it's from time to time, you will get a flourishing of culture and a flourishing of support. The Whitlam government in the early 70s in Australia made a huge change, and not only in funding, but also in airplay, and that endures to this day, the success of that. And we've had moments here too. Helen Clark was, you know, pretty visible about it and kind of changed arguably what we have today is a kind of infrastructure that can be credited to her emphatically saying, this matters and this deserves to be properly supported. You're still left with a kind of a poor relation arrangement, hence the discussion you've just referred to. We need to try and make this more substantive, more substantial, more solid, and recognise it for the value, the huge value it has.
This has come back to a conversation that I know we've had with you on this show before, David, and I've seen a lot of people talking about what it could mean to have some form of universal basic income return or some form of universal basic services come in at this point. A lot of people have been talking about how PACE used to be a system set up, and a flawed system, but a system set up to support artists all the time, so that you didn't necessarily have to have a day job to be an artist. Is this something that you think we need to start having a serious conversation about? And is this the right time to have that conversation?
Yeah, emphatically it is. You know, things are certainties have been kind of undermined a little, and so it becomes a much more fruitful time to have those discussions about what has been taken for granted for so long. Is it actually in the best interest of us all? And you've got such a generational tilt that's so abundantly apparent, mostly through the mechanism of the property market. But, you know, it goes much more broadly than that. There has to be a better way of sharing endeavour and sharing wealth. Yeah. And it's just insane the way things have got so lopsided. So that would... you know, I think there's a more of a constituency right now for some kind of, as you say, universal basic services or funding. And the more I look at it, the more it feels to me that making more services freely available is a more desirable way to go. And that could include accommodation, because that's such a large chunk of it.
Yeah.
Which is not to say we haven't already invented that sort of, but we're not doing it very well at all, and you want to reconsider how that does. And mostly that's to do with a far larger role played by the state. And that's what it all comes back to in the end. You know, do we make the state a larger player in all of these figures again, and thereby make a daily existence less precarious for people, especially ones who are doing something like this, which is so valuable and yet is supported so thinly.
And I just wanted to touch briefly on another COVID-related thing. Of course, it is a bit of the overarching theme at the moment, which is that we've seen from the ACT Party and also from the National Party in the last week, their opposition strategies for the, reopening of the borders or the dealing with COVID in the future, near and far future space here, particularly looking at National's strategy, which was really just released yesterday. Have you sort of looked at this? Is there any merit in your mind to some of the suggestions that they've made, particularly one that's been making headlines is the idea of 85% vaccination rate being what is needed for Aotearoa to reopen, in their opinion, or also getting more people back home before Christmas? What are your thoughts around what we've seen from the opposition this week?
Yeah, I have looked at it at length, and I'm trying to look at it as objectively as I can, but what I've kind of concluded is this... In both those instances, it's a bit too much risk-taking being proposed in order to satisfy the expectations of people that you should be able to treat this thing as over once you and yours have your jabs in you. You know, in other words, it's not following through to the end. And Rod Jackson has been making the most sense about this of anybody, the Professor Rod Jackson, the epidemiologist, who's been explaining that even vaccinating 90% of eligible people still leaves almost 500,000 eligible unvaccinated. And on top of that, you've got almost 1 million children under the age of 12. So that's 1.5 million unprotected. And what he's saying is, you know, people say, look at other countries who've opened up. They aren't seeing calamitous numbers in hospital. But that's overlooking the fact that they weren't as locked down as we were and COVID-free. And so they've also had a lot of infection and achieved a lot more immunity. We don't have that. So the Sean Hendy projections are absolutely right. Therefore... Mm. Anything along the lines of 75 to 80 or 80 to 85, which is what National is talking about, is breezing past the ramifications of vastly more numbers than they think will be involved in a delta that just rips through if the tiniest bit gets in.
Mm.
And Judith Collins is airily talking about just checking a bit harder on the departures on their way to New Zealand and again on their way in, as though that's not already rigorous and as though that's enough to stop large numbers getting in. We've already seen that the tiniest bit of delta getting free turns into something calamitous. And until we're at 90 or even, actually what Rod Jackson says, it's got to be 95%, we're screwed. And, you know, he's absolutely blunt about it, and I want to quote him. He says, "I don't want to freak anyone to freak out, but we have to get serious. This really is a war. It's a world war, and in New Zealand we're not protected enough. People are saying we're not going to get to 95%. Of course New Zealanders can get to 95%. Why not?" That's the way to look at it. Mm. Not this five-second rule trying to shortcut your way out of this. We can't. We'll get there with vaccination, but vaccination is what it's all about. And trying to pretend there's anything but vaccination that's going to get us through here is a delusion.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, David. It's great to have you back on the show. Have you had both your vaxes yet?
Oh, emphatically, yeah.
Excellent.
the whole whānau.
Excellent. I'm off to get my second one this week. I'm excited about
good.
It. Yeah, very, very much looking forward to it. Hey, thank you, David. It's great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Take care.
Cheers, Rachel. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with David.